Hey, this is Sean Chiplock, the voice of Revali, Teva, and the Great Deku Tree in The Legend of Zelda, Subaru Natsuki in ReZero, and Guido Mista in JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Golden Wind, and you're listening to the After Hours Nerds Podcast.
Because 17 stones is like 225 pounds.
Oh, you're doing the measurement of the unit stones.
Yeah.
I thought you meant like actual stones.
No.
What weighs more, a pound of stones or a pound of feathers?
A pound of stones.
Thanks for tuning in to episode 95 of the After Hour Nerd Podcast, the week of September 27, 2021, the weekly podcast that covers last week's important gaming and nerd culture news, hosted by Gags and Dill. Dill, you play anything good?
I just played the early access for that, I think it's like Masquerade Blood Hunt. I think that's what it's called.
If you had to pay for it, would you buy it, or?
I feel like once it's out of its like beta stage, it'll be solid, but like, certain things, like when I was on a building and I was shooting at someone, I couldn't hear someone coming up behind me and I just got railed.
Well, so it's Battle Royale. How does it work? Because you're a vampire in a Battle Royale that you use guns in.
Yep.
So do you start from the sky and dive in?
No, like right before the match starts, it tells you to pick a spawn. So you pick where you go on the map.
Okay.
And then it just pops you on the ground.
Yep.
And then you just climb buildings.
And you're already a vampire, right? Like, you
don't get
And then
you find someone to feed on that gives you a special ability. You get that ability, and then you just start looking for people to destroy.
It's kind of like a cool concept where you have to kill basically NPCs that are the humans, right?
Yeah.
And then you get your strength from killing them.
Yep.
And then you go into...
And then you kill people. And then once you knock someone, they're on the ground, you can either shoot them or feed on them, and then you like rip their head off.
Yep.
So
you can feed on other vampires?
You feed on the people that you knock if you want.
Yep.
You can feed on them.
Does that give you more health?
I
or
don't
does
think
it,
so.
It just gives you
it
more
might
strength?
Give you, I've never done it. I've only just killed the guy on the ground. It might give you your health back.
Yep.
But when you feed on random people on the street, it'll give you your health back.
Okay.
If you can find someone.
How often can you find someone on the street?
I mean, you have, like, so every time you hit the right stick in, you get, like, it like does your vampire abilities and like flashes like what's nearby,
like your bloodlust.
So you can
almost?
Like see, like you can see if there's like one, especially if you can see if there's one of those ability guys next to you.
Yep.
And then because they'll light up like whatever their color is.
Yeah.
And then you just go to them and eat them.
Can you go inside the buildings? Because you said you can run
you can
on
just
the buildings.
Climb up on them.
Okay.
And, shit. And you can do like your R1 does, like my R1 does like a shockwave punch.
Yep.
And then my L1 is like when you like lunge.
Yeah.
But you pick like out of like six classes.
Okay. What are the six classes?
I don't even... Some of them are, like, kind of, like, weird. Like, some of them seem like they're more... If you're playing solos, you want to just go with the one I picked, I
think. Right, because if you're a healer in solos,
yeah,
it's
like,
probably not
going
to help.
Some of those are only good for, like, group activities.
Yep.
So, I don't even know what the other... I just picked the one that was, like, a brawler up close type shit. Because you're using guns anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and it's got, like, Fortnite-type guns, like Tommy Gun, and it'll have, like, assault rifle.
Sounds like it's happening, like, in previous times, not, like, current-day times with the guns. Is that right?
Yeah, it seems more like 1920s-ish.
Like the mafia, kind of?
Yeah, and the buildings are kind of old.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Is it like a city environment that you're
yeah,
in?
Yeah, yep, you're in like
one
a,
little, map?
A town. Yeah, one map so far, yep.
That's not bad. I played the Halo Infinite Test Flight. Oh, my God. If you missed Halo, dude,
your
this
guy
is
looks
Halo.
Savage that you sent me that picture.
Yes. Yo, he starts
he looked
match.
Legit.
LA's boxing.
He looked legit, though.
I was confused at first because they showed off the grappling hook.
Yep.
So I thought that was just something you have. You don't always get that. It's like one of the items you can pick up because they have like something you tack onto yourself and makes you invisible.
Oh, God.
And you, like people will just sneak up out of nowhere behind you.
Shank
just,
you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other one they do is, do you remember the shield bubble they used to have? You'd throw it down, it would just be a dome.
Yeah.
They got rid of that, but it's like a wall.
Yep.
And the wall's broken into 9 panels. And if you shoot a panel long enough, that panel breaks.
Yeah.
So it's not as strong, but it's still like it's worth it.
I mean, you can
throw
spread it pretty wide, though. Yeah.
And you get two of them.
Yeah.
And then the other one was the grapple, which I used. It was the only time it ever worked. It was cool for me. Is me and some other guy were running for the gravity hammer, if you remember that.
Yeah.
And I had the grapple, so I was like, screw it. So I shot the grapple at it, and it came
and it grabbed,
back to me.
Oh, wow,
and
nuts.
Then once I had it, I just hit him with the gravity hammer. But the gravity hammer in this is so slow. So your guy like cocks it all the way back, and then just. But it's a one-hit KO every time.
Boshed him.
It was the most savage thing I ever did, and I forgot to save the clip. But,
idiot.
The only problem I have in it is every game mode I play, because I played Capture the Flag, Team Deathmatch, it's only 4-on-4 so far, or all I got to play was 4v4.
Yeah.
and then Team Deathmatch, Capture the Flag, and then like King of the Hill. Team Deathmatch is the best one. Yeah, you start every single one with the assault rifle or the pistol. The assault rifle feels so strong. Like,
does it?
You don't ever have to aim down the sights, and you can just like pick people from across the
map
with
it. Seems like Splitgate.
Yeah, like it's...
Because that was way too easy.
And to the point where, like, do you remember the Needler?
Yep.
Yeah.
So they got rid of dual wielding.
Annoying.
You can't dual wield in this game. So you only get one Needler. So it shoots so slow, the assault rifle kills you. The battle rifle, if you remember that one, when you zoom in and it does like the burst shot.
That's Splitgate right there again.
But if you get shot while you're looking down the sights, it pulls you out of looking down.
Oh, really? That's whack.
I hate that.
Yeah, that sucks.
So at that point, you might as well just use the assault rifle. Yeah, and no scope.
Yeah, that's whack.
The shotgun is so overpowered, but like...
No dual-wield Needlers, huh?
No dual-wield at all. You can't dual-wield at all in this game.
That sucks.
I can't believe they got rid of that.
The Needler used to be so disgusting.
But oh my god, it's so good. It's
They have a version of that in Splitgate too.
Do they? Where it like goes into him and then finally explodes?
Yeah.
The game looks so good on
whatever
HDR.
Graphics you
showed
me look nuts.
And I don't even have like the best monitor or screen.
No,
you know,
shitty ass TV.
I got Xbox Series X though, so it helps. But oh my, it looks so goddamn good.
Yeah, no, it did look smooth.
The weird thing is too. So it gave me the Battle Pass for free. You don't get EXP from just playing.
Really?
So, like, if you play a match, say you had 25 kills, that doesn't matter to it. It's, like, challenges, and you have to complete the challenges.
To get EXP?
To that's get whack. EXP for the... So it'll be, like, you know, complete 4 matches, and that'll give you EXP.
I feel like they'll get annoying, though, after a while, those challenges. Like, it's going to be hard to get EXP.
Right, because I could technically play better than you, but you might have just went going
just
straight for
challenges.
So that's
stupid.
I don't know if they're going to fix that or if they're going to somehow implement some way to get EXP.
That's why
through.
It's a beta, right?
Yeah, it doesn't come out to what, December 8th or December 9th or something like that.
I'm assuming I can't get into that access anymore.
I think you can because it was this weekend and it's next weekend.
I might have to get into next weekend's access.
And we could do crossplay together.
Oh, really?
So if you download it on your PC, me and you can play.
Probably look way better on my PC.
I mean, it looked incredible on the Xbox.
It looked all right.
Mm-hmm.
For your next gen console.
My peasants, right?
Yeah. You know.
All right, we'll take a short little break and be back with the news. All right, we're back with the news. Quick news of the week. Netflix held its Ta-Dum event, giving us new looks at the shows releasing later this year and next year. We got a Stranger Things Season 4 trailer, The Witcher Season 2 trailer, Cowboy Bebop live action opening, Army of Thieves trailer, the Arcane League of Legends trailer, and a November release date, Cobra Kai Season 4 trailer, and even more. Shang-Chi, Jungle Cruise, and Home Sweet Home Alone will be available on Disney Plus starting November 12th. PlayStation 4 firmware update 9.0 reportedly prevents the console's battery from tampering with the PS4's ability to play games. Next update coming to Pokemon Unite on September 29th will add Mamoswine. This is a weird one. Microsoft sends voice actor Jason Kelly, voice of Colt in Deathloop, a PlayStation 5 due to him not being able to play the game he voices the lead role in. If you remember, technically this game is made by Microsoft.
Yep, but...
It had already previously signed the deal exclusive to Sony before Microsoft bought them. And since the guy went on Twitter was talking about, oh, the game looks great, I can't play it. So Microsoft sent him a PS5.
The guy that does the voice?
Yeah, yes. So he could play the game that he voices.
They should send me one.
Yeah, tweet at him.
If they're just sending these out.
We are Xbox, no? We're big.
No. Shout out Microsoft.
Spider-Man coming to Marvel's Avengers exclusive to PS will have story elements and cutscenes as the character joining the game will be considered an in-game event confirmed by the game's senior producer on the game's official Discord server. So I put that in the short so you wouldn't have to talk about Marvel's Avengers since I'm always thinking about you.
It's just a joke by now.
And then the big news story of the week, Nintendo held their September 2021 Direct. It was around 40 minutes. The recap is by Adam Bankhurst on IGN.com. Nintendo's latest Direct has arrived and brought with it some big updates for the Nintendo Switch, alongside announcing the Nintendo Switch Online Plus Expansion Pack membership. I hate that name. I don't know why you wouldn't just call it like the Nintendo Switch Online Plus or anything.
Yeah, this is so long.
The membership will add N64 and Sega Genesis games. Nintendo has also unveiled Kirby and the Forgotten Land, the first gameplay trailer for Bayonetta 3, new Splatoon 3 gameplay, an expansion for Monster Hunter Rise, and so much more. All right, so first we got Kirby and the Forgotten Land is an adorable-looking new adventure headed to Switch. Kirby and the Forgotten Land is a 3D Venture launched on the Nintendo Switch in spring 2022. This game features wide open areas that Kirby can explore that are filled with enemies he can copy to acquire their abilities. Honestly, it looked like Super Mario Odyssey, but if you play it as Kirby.
That's dope.
So it's like a 3D open... from what you can tell from the trailer, I don't know if there's an overworld where you pick where you have to go, and they're just like segregated like little levels, or if it's just a complete open world map. The trailer...
So, I mean, it kind of sounds like the one that we used to play for the Wii, that Mario game. Super Mario World or whatever it is.
The Wii U you're talking about?
Yeah.
That's kind of what it looks like. Yeah, Super 3D World.
Which was dope.
Right, and this...
dominated it.
If you compare it to Super Mario Odyssey, where you throw the cap and you get the powers, instead of throwing the cap, you just suck in the enemy, and then you get their powers. So it looks very similar to Super Mario Odyssey. I don't know how well the Kirby name does.
Kirby Dream Land Game Boy, one of the best games out there.
So that's the best-selling Kirby game of all time.
I mean, I don't doubt it.
5 million copies of Kirby Dream Land for the Game Boy, released in 1992. The second best-selling one in the series is Kirby Star Allies, which released on the Switch in 2018. That had 3 million copies. That's why...
26 years later.
I know. But that's the thing, though.
I mean, I don't think any one of those... None of these... I mean, I don't know about this new one, but that Game Boy one was iconic.
The Game Boy... There's a lot of Game Boy Advance ones that are so good.
So much.
Did you? The black and white one?
Yeah.
Really? I missed that one completely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that's made
and
by
that
the same guy.
The Game Boy Color too. That was
dope. There's a ton of them. Yeah, there's so many of them.
Kirby was lit back then.
I just don't know how well, because like obviously people know Kirby, but I don't know how well people care about Kirby.
At this point, I don't know how much they care about him, but
right. And I mean,
it's just been so long since you've really seen him in anything like crazy.
2018 was Kirby Star Allies,
which I didn't even know what that is.
They always review so like mediocrely to just good. You know what I mean? Like they're never great.
Yeah.
And I think, again, it's a side-scroller games, typically, where you barely can die. You get, like, a full life bar.
Right, yeah.
You can't fall down the hole because you can fly.
Kirby never does. And he just sucks up any power he wants. So
They're never difficult
games.
Yes. Yeah. But, again, they're, like, for children, you know? Like, when you were a kid, how much did you love it, though?
I loved it. And I probably died back then somehow.
Yeah.
If I played it now, it might be a different story. But
well, the Kirby Star Allies, when I bought it, I ran right through the game.
I'd never heard you play that, ever.
Okay.
Now you're just putting up a front.
Yeah, now I'm just...
trying to show off for Nintendo.
That's it.
Secret,
hey, if they want
secret
to send
rep.
Me stuff,
turn your back against
the
Microsoft.
The Nintendo Ninja.
That's nice.
Next was the Nintendo Switch Online Plus Expansion Pack announced. Includes N64 and Sega Genesis games.
Called it.
Did we, though?
I did. You said Game Boy. I said
all right, Nintendo. We'll run back the tape.
I said N64.
Nintendo Switch Online is getting a big update that will add both N64 and Sega Genesis games to its service with a new expansion pack membership. The update will arrive in October, so next month, and Nintendo promises it will reveal more about pricing and an exact release date closer to its launch. What do you think, $5 or $10 more?
I could see it being either one.
I think 10.
I don't think 10's that serious.
Right, because it's 10 a year, which is less than a dollar
it's
more
already,
a month.
What, like $20 a year?
It's $20 a year. It's
they can honestly raise it up 20 if they want it.
It's $25 for a family pack, and you can have 5 people on a family pack.
Yeah, so you could split that.
Yes.
Pay $5, call it a day.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The launch lineup for the N64 games include Super Mario 64, which you can technically already play on a Switch.
Dope.
The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time, which
called
is like
it.
The best one.
Called it.
Mario Kart 64.
Nice.
Star Fox 64.
Solid.
Sin and Punishment, which is kind of famous because it was only in Japan, and then they finally brought it to the West in, like, I think the Wii.
Fun fact, guy in Tokyo Revengers has tatted on his hands.
What, Sin and Punishment?
Sin and Punishment.
There you go.
And we hate that guy.
Dr. Mario 64.
Oh. That's a classic.
Mario Tennis 64.
Classic.
Winback, which I have no idea what that is.
It.
Yoshi's Story, which I used to fuck with so heavy. The launch lineup for Sega Genesis games includes Sonic the Hedgehog 2, Streets of Rage 2, Echo the Dolphin, Castlevania Bloodlines, Contra Hard Corps, Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine, Golden Axe, Gunstar Heroes, Musha, Final Fantasy Star 4, Rystar, Shining Force, Shinobi 3, Return of the Ninja Master, and Strider.
I was really hoping for Spider-Man Maximum Carnage, but that's cool.
That game's cool. A licensed game. You'll never get that.
That's cool.
They'd have to. Whoever owns that would have to sell that. Like,
that's really the only Sega Genesis game I'd even care about.
I am so
just
shocked.
Just to beat it again.
But would you have ever guessed Sega Genesis was coming?
No, absolutely right? not. But if that game was there, I'd be pumped.
You'd be you wouldn't play it?
No, I need to beat it. I never got to beat it back then.
Emulator.
It's not the same.
I know.
I played it at TA's cab that they built.
Oh, the cabinet?
Like,
yeah.
It was hard with the Joy-Cons. I need to play with like
the actual Oh, you need like the actual Sega Genesis
yeah, it was
controller?
Weird with the fucking with the arcade style.
Yeah, I would not be it able to do that, especially the movement.
And that game is just so fucking hard because if you lose, it resets you, and it's just.
All games back then were hard, were they not?
I know. I just want to beat that once.
There were no Kirby's.
No, definitely not.
The service will get more N64 games in the future, like Banjo-Kazooie, which is kind of incredible because that's a Microsoft game.
Yep.
Pokemon Snap. The Legend of Zelda Majora's Mask.
Yep, we called that.
Kirby 64, The Crystal Shards. I don't think either of us said that.
Never heard of that.
Again, you didn't really play the Kirby games, right?
Not on 64. I didn't.
Mario Golf. Paper Mario, I want called so it. Bad. I wish that was coming, like, immediately. I wish that... Because they're going to, like, drop one game a month. So it's going to take forever for us to get goddamn Paper Mario. And then F-Zero X, which is another game that I always missed. And then another surprise from that was N64 games will have online multiplayer, which is cool, but out of the list that comes, I think we see Mario 64 has online multiplayer, but at that point, I'd rather play Mario Kart 8.
Yep,
Star Fox 64 has multiplayer, which could be cool. You actually just shoot at each other in the sky.
That's dope.
Dr. Mario 64, don't know who's going to really want to play that multiplayer. Mario Tennis 64... will have multiplayer, and that's it. So that's like four games, I think, that'll have online multiplayer, and it's like a novelty, I guess.
It's pretty dope, though.
And then you can buy a N64 controller and a Sega Genesis controller that will be wireless and hooks right up to the Switch, charges USB-C.
Solid.
$50 each. Yeah.
Steep, but I know you'll buy it.
I'll buy the N64 one. I'm not buying
the
Sega Genesis.
I'll see you with both.
I don't think I'll ever touch the Sega. I never had a Sega Genesis as a kid.
Stop it.
We got our first look at Bayonetta 3 gameplay and a 2022 release date. There's a lot of controversy going on about this because at the very end, they teased like a character, and a lot of people swear it's Virgil from Devil May Cry. I want to show you a picture. I want to know what you think.
That would be crazy.
Again, they're not in the same universe.
They're not.
They have very similar... similar gameplay, yes. To the point that like people have been wanting a
also,
Bayonetta.
Also, there's a death match with them.
Is
well,
there?
Not Virgil, but Dante versus Bayonetta. So
again, like it makes sense. But then people are also saying like it might be young Dante, because you know how he was like he was young in one of them, like Devil May Cry 4 or whatever.
No,
remember
not,
they went?
He's not young. I mean, he's young in number one, but he's not young. You never
no,
see him young.
Remember?
Young.
Yeah.
Maybe in 5, but not in 4.
All right, maybe
four
it is
not
five.
Even. You don't play as Dante in 4.
Devil May Cry.
You play with Neo or Nero, whatever his name is.
There's one where they. It's basically like a prequel,
that
and
might,
he's. He's that, that's Dante.
Yeah, I don't know. That's definitely not 4.
It's called just Devil May Cry because I guess it's supposed to be like a reboot
yeah,
or. But all right, so that's the. Teaser picture they show. Does that look like Virgil? I have no touchstone to Devil May Cry whatsoever.
It does.
I would think it's weird that you tease a character that's going to be an original from the game. You know what I mean? That no one knows who he is or
it
why you would
like
do that.
Virgil from like 5.
So
like the because in the first couple of games like you don't see his face for a grip.
Yep.
Like the first game he's in like a suit.
Yeah. Okay.
Like an iron suit. So you don't really know what he looks. I mean, it does look like him though from the back.
But then now people are arguing it's Nero, and then people are arguing that it's young Dante.
Nero? No, I don't think it's Dante because Dante doesn't have that hairstyle.
Well, young Dante did.
Nah, he doesn't even have it like that. Nero and Virgil are way closer to that hairstyle.
And that's like a samurai sword this guy's holding,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but that Virgil does have like a thin blade.
Okay,
in,
and Dante doesn't.
In 5 though, that's what
in
I'm saying. Because in the other one, he has like a big ass blade.
What's the newest one? 6.
I don't. I think it's 5. I think 5 is the most current.
All right, and that's the one where he has the thin blade.
Yeah.
So
I think,
it would make
sure.
sense that they used his current design too. So there's a lot of controversy if we're getting a crossover.
That'd be
or,
interesting.
Because
he's a savage.
There was a lot of rumors that this game might be in trouble because the last time we saw it was 2017, But now we just got a full gameplay trailer and a release date of 2022.
Another game hit
2022. Dude, 2022 is going to be wild.
Just slated with just crazy games.
Splatoon 3 gameplay and Return of the Mammals single-player campaign revealed. While there was no update on the 2022 release window, Splatoon 3 did get a new gameplay trailer that showed off its Return of the Mammals single-player campaign. We also get a look at the updated Turf War mode that will have new weapons and possible traversal mechanics. So this new one is about... So the whole idea of Splatoon is there was basically like a nuclear explosion that destroyed the whole world,
yep.
And humans kind of turned into the squid kids.
Okay.
So they can't touch like real water and things like that. And I guess now this is the return of like more normal humans, and that's the story. It's got really weird lore for a children's game.
Yeah, it's pretty intense. Pretty in-depth.
But again, 2022.
Yep, another one.
Monster
Hunter Rise expansion.
Dude, this looks wild. Yes.
2022?
Yep. Monster Hunter Rise Sunbreak expansion pack announced for summer 2022.
Wow.
Deep. But this is just an expansion, so yeah. It's not a full game.
Yeah, of course, but still deep.
As a direct expansion to Monster Hunter Rise, you can expect a massive amount of content coming with Monster Hunter Rise Sunbreak, including all new storyline with more new monsters, new locals, gameplay elements, a new quest rank, and more. It was a very brief trailer. It showed off the Wrathless flying in the air and just gets murked by some new dragon I've never seen before. It's a brand new monster.
I hope it rips your head off.
Dude, it looks massive. Yeah. It looks insane.
You don't got the balls to beat it.
I actually just went back because they put in Rush,
yep.
from Mega Man, Akuma from Street Fighter.
Dope.
And then Okami from the Okami series. So I unlocked Okami and Rush. I went to do the Akuma mission. Oh my god. You fight this thing called the Rajang, which is like a monkey that basically goes Super Saiyan.
Yeah.
It gets the glowing hair.
Oh god.
And it'll do like one charge beam out of its mouth. And I usually wipe this thing no problem. But I swear they put this thing on steroids. Because I'm like a super high rank with like the highest armor.
Debatable.
One hit. I will have like a tenth of health left. So sometimes
clearly the strategy is don't get hit.
That's the only way to win.
And you're not good enough.
Well, again, so I play online. You have four people. If three people die, doesn't matter. Not three lives each, just three in general.
Yeah, yeah.
One beam will take you out immediately. So he'll do one beam, and all of a sudden you'll just see so-and-so fainted, so-and-so fainted, and it's just quest over.
Yep.
I have only lasted about 6 minutes.
That means you're going to have to take it on yourself.
I've thought about it so much.
You can't rely on others.
Well, the problem is
that gives you three hits.
Yeah, but then you're the only thing he's attacking. You know, so there's
Well, that means you have less things to worry about when you go to dodge.
Oh, I don't want to do that. I know
what would happen if he laser beamed all three of you at the same time?
Oh, that's what happens.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So if it's if you don't have anyone distracting you, the beam will be harder to hit you.
There was one time where I thought we were doing good. Like we were actually doing good. And I put him in a trap, and he went Super Saiyan, and immediately swiped his arm, and I just saw two names go down, and then he put the blast down, and I got hit, and that was it.
Maybe one day you'll be able to beat him, right?
I honestly don't
think
I want
to. If my fighter was in there,
no.
I think we'd take him, just you and me.
The Monster Hunter World on the like Xbox, PS4, and PC,
yep.
like that was the big one that kind of like got the franchise popular. That got an expansion pack. I heard that was $40. So I'm expecting this is going to cost a lot of money, too.
Oh, yeah. 60.
Yeah, something around
60
that.
60 bergs.
They're claiming this is massive. So next they tease the Super Smash Bros. Ultimate Final DLC character. He'll be revealed in early October, so they're going to have an event on October 5th. I think that's next week. No, 2 weeks. When is October 5th?
That's from today? Like next Tuesday or something.
All right, so next week we will see the final, and they made sure they said it. This is the final DLC character. If it's getting its own 40-minute event, I would hope it's hype as hell. I will be so heartbroken if they just pick a Pokemon or a random Nintendo character.
Who do you think it's going to be?
I can't even tell you anymore. Like I would have never guessed Sephiroth. I would have never said...
Sephiroth's crazy.
I would have never said Pyramithra. I would have never said Banjo-Kazooie. I would have never said Minecraft Steve. You know, like, there's
Minecraft,
so many...
Minecraft, Steve. Yeah, no, that's a bad one. But
I want Master Chief so bad, because I just feel like that would be an insane...
You think they would do such a big thing for that?
It's the final character, right?
I mean, yeah.
And
but still, that's what I mean. You think they would do something just for Master Chief?
Yeah. I could imagine it was Sora from Kingdom Hearts.
That'd be crazy.
I would love a PlayStation
That'd be nuts.
Right. Like imagine Kratos.
I was literally about to say Kratos. That'd be crazy.
Right. Like, the speculation is going to be through the moon. It's going to be Waluigi.
Don't do that to us.
And you know what? I'd take it. Because they gave us so many hype characters already. And there's so many characters already in it.
Sephiroth. Just doing Sephiroth was enough.
Insane.
That trailer
Shirtless
was just,
Sephiroth?
That trailer was enough. Watching him stab Mario.
When Cloud was like, Sephiroth.
Stab Mario. Destroy him.
But he lived.
Stab Chris Pratt.
Yeah. R.I.P.
R.I.P. Chris Pratt.
Should they stop? I feel like they should just keep going.
With more characters?
Yeah. I would just keep the DLC going.
Let's get a new game.
But you know, if they do a new game, you're not getting all these characters back.
No.
They're going to have to cut the roster.
They'll work it. They'll cut the roster, and then they'll rework in some new guys.
Like, you'll never get Snake again.
No, we'll get Snake back.
You'll never get Cloud.
Come on.
You'll never get him again.
We'll get them all back.
I don't think so. I think this is it.
They'll bring him back somehow. They'll make you repay for him.
Yeah.
In a new game, and someone will do it.
Well, I remember Smash 4, they made us, like, repay. The first, like, three DLC characters were Mewtwo,
yep.
Which was already in the game before. Lucas, which is just a NES clone.
Yeah, we don't need that.
And then Roy, which Roy was cool as hell.
Roy's cool, but...
Especially when they brought him back, they made him, like, a completely new character.
He's still just another Ike and thing clone.
Yeah, another Fire Emblem Sword
another
Fighter.
Fire dude. Another Sword Fighter.
Animal Crossing will get its own direct in October, and Brewster the Root and the Roost are coming soon. So this is supposed to be a large update. We haven't had any new Animal Crossing, like, stuff in a while.
Yeah.
And it's, like, one of the best-selling video games of all time now.
Still.
So I can't believe they haven't decided to do any paid DLC yet, because you know, even if 10% of these people buy it, that's still money.
Oh, yeah.
I think they're going to break our heart with this, and it's just going to be, like, minimal updates, like, little
people
trinkets.
People will go crazy.
But that's the thing. People will still go crazy. That community is going to love
put
it.
Put in 80 hours in a week and then never play until something new comes out.
But
you know, dude, how it goes.
The way I see it in my head, though, right, if you put 60 hours into a game, you basically paid $1 per hour. Like, that's worth it to me.
Not if that 60 hours gets spread out over, like...
I still think so.
A couple months.
Because it was $60 you could have put towards something, you like food, and then you eat it once, and you get fat, and you blame everyone but yourself.
Hey, it's never your fault.
It's never
your fault.
Nope.
Pressure. You never want to eat.
My metabolism messed up.
We get pressured to eat.
Thank you.
Yep.
Mario Party Superstars sees the return of Woody Woods, Yoshi's Tropical Island, and Horrorland. A new gameplay trailer was revealed for Mario Party Superstars that revealed new details about the game and some of the maps that will be playable when it launches on October 29th, 2021. The new maps include classic boards for N64 Mario Party games like Woody Woods, Yoshi's Tropical Island, and Horrorland. There will also be a Mount Minigames minigame mode that includes the competitive survival course and the cooperative multiplayer course tag match. So the new Mario Party coming out next month is just a remaster of N64 boards and N64 minigames, which people have wanted so bad.
Yeah, all the older minigames are always way better.
Way better.
Mario Party 5 minigames are crazy.
And the older boards are way better, too.
Oh, yeah. No, I like those maps way better on the old ones.
And this one is going to have full online,
yep.
Which is huge. They needed to have that from the beginning.
That's dope.
It's going to ditch the motion controls.
Whatever.
I prefer that.
I don't even care.
Give me a pro control. Let me just play with a pro control.
Yeah, no, I like playing with a pro. I'll play with either one.
Well, the last one, you only play with one Joy-Con.
Yeah, that's
like, one of the minigames, you literally just jerk off.
That's pretty stupid. I like the old minigames way better than the newer.
Yeah,
the newer.
There's so much. I remember there's one. I don't know if you remember it. You're in, like, a haunted mansion, and you're all on a skateboard, and there's booze chasing you, so you have to tap A to kick the skateboard, but there's also thwomps falling down.
I there's definitely one where you're in, like, the mansion, but the one that we played, you're not on a skateboard. You're just running.
Do you
like
remember?
You have to find the door, like, to the exit.
I know what you're talking about, too.
And that one was dope.
Do you remember the other one where you're on a circular stage, you're all standing on top of a ball, and you have to run into each other, and you bang the other one's ball, and whoever's the last standing wins?
I like the one where you're in the water, and you got to punch each other out.
Yeah.
That one's crazy.
Yes.
All those minigames are crazy. They get wild. I love the team ones, too.
Yeah, the team ones are funny.
Them shits are, like, especially when some person's trying to, like, knock you guys off something or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I like the one where it spins and there's, like, holes in the thing.
Yes.
And then the guy spins it and it's trying to make you fall through the hole.
Yeah.
That one's crazy. I always win it.
That there's so many like good ones that I can't wait for the return and be in HD.
Oh yeah.
And have online so that you can actually play
that
with people.
Still fun no matter what.
And this is what you were talking about. Shigeru Miyamoto announces the cast and release date of the Super Mario Bros. Movie. The Super Mario Bros. Movie will be released in theaters in North America on December 21st, 2022. Chris Pratt will play Mario. Anna Taylor-Joy will play Peach. Charlie Day will play Luigi. Jack Black will play Bowser. Keegan-Michael Key will be Toad. Seth Rogen will play Donkey Kong. Charles Martinet, who voices Mario in the game, will appear in the movie as special cameo character. How do you feel about the cast?
I mean,
it's Hollywood, right? Did you not expect it?
That's a tough cast anyway, I feel like, to put together.
No one was ever going to be happy.
Yeah, like, I feel like no matter, like, none of those people, like, just those characters in general are just hard to match a real-life
right.
person
with. I actually think Charlie Day as Luigi is perfect.
I don't know how I feel about Jack Black as Bowser.
I feel like that's
really
good. I'm
cool with Seth Rogen being Donkey Kong.
I just picture his laugh.
I'm cool with that. Chris Pratt as Mario is like...
That's so weird to me. That's so weird.
That's going to be weird to see.
It's going to be weird until you finally hear it, and then it's just going to be like, okay, that's... Because when they said Ben Schwartz was Sonic, right? I was like, that's so weird. And then you see it, and you're like, all right, it's totally fine.
I mean, at least it's just the voices, but...
Right, and again, it's animated.
Yeah.
Imagine if it was fucking Chris Pratt,
well,
live
what,
action.
That's what I mean. Like, live action, that's a tough cast. Yeah. That's a tough group of characters to make live action regardless.
Yep.
Like, I feel like Zelda would be easier.
You think so? Oh, yeah. Live action?
Yeah, live action.
You know what? Anna Taylor-Joy could be Zelda live action. Am I wrong, though?
I just feel like that game style would be easier because Link almost looks human.
Yep.
Like,
yeah,
more
yeah.
human than, like, a Mario does. So, like, you can...
Even though Mario's human.
I know, but he just doesn't look plumber. It. Like, he just looks like a little short bastard.
Are you mad? A lot of the internet's mad that Charles Martinet, who voices Mario in the games, isn't the voice of Mario.
I mean, I don't even care.
Here's the thing, right? Mario doesn't actually talk.
Yeah,
if you
just
thought,
says Mario.
If you thought Charles Martinet was going to hold a movie for 2 fucking hours doing this voice, you were out of your goddamn mind.
Just to say Mario.
Yeah, it's
Mario.
A meme.
It's me, I'm Mario.
If you play,
are they gonna make him talk? Is he just gonna do Mario?
No, he's definitely gonna talk. They said in the thing Mario is going to talk a lot.
I can't imagine Chris Pratt doing a Mario.
That's
movie.
What
this,
I'm saying.
It's gonna be so funny.
He released a video.
Funny though, so he might be able to pull.
And
it
he
off.
Does a lot of voice acting.
He
people
might,
don't know that
he might be able to pull it off.
Remember,
they should have did friggin' what's his face, Seth MacFarlane.
Seth, no, shot.
He does. He's
does
so
lot,
good at doing
yes.
voices.
He
come
is.
On.
He is.
I've seen just a video of him doing other people's voices.
Yeah.
Like, not even his own characters.
Just impressions.
And he's
yeah.
disgusting.
He's really
like,
good.
Come on.
He voices, like, how many characters?
Like, six
in that?
People
yeah.
on one show. He would be perfect for that voice.
But even, like, Chris Pratt, he does the Lego movies.
Yeah.
And then he did that other one with Tom Holland, like, Underworld, or... He's, like, an ogre. Him and his brother are ogres. They like somehow get this stone from their father who passed away, and then it's up to them to bring this stone somewhere so their father can be revived from.
Oh,
like
you talking
one
about
day.
The? Oh, you talking about that movie where they bring back the father in the pants or whatever?
Yes, yeah,
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 yeah, yeah.
And he does really good in it.
Is that Chris Pratt?
Yeah, that's Chris Pratt and Tom Holland.
I thought like Will Smith was in that movie. Or
no,
something.
No, no,
nah,
no.
That must be
no, you're thinking of the
Soul
Dove one
or
something.
Soul? Am I thinking of Soul?
Soul is Jamie Foxx. That's when he dies. That's another good movie, though. This is also made by the team.
I heard that Pants movie was whack, though.
No,
the
it's pretty
father,
good.
Because they don't. I heard they get him back for like 2 seconds, and
literally
then he dies
2 seconds.
Again.
Yeah.
So it's like, what the fuck?
The other thing is, this is made from the team that makes Despicable Me.
Yeah, which are
kind of, if you think about it, with the Minions, they don't talk.
Yeah, no, they don't.
And dude, Keegan-Michael Key as Toad. That's so weird.
Wait,
too.
What does Toad do?
I don't know.
Toad do anything?
Like, what do you mean? Like,
what is he? Does
like,
Toad,
how does he talk?
Does Toad say anything? Does
not
Toad
really.
Really do anything?
He just, like makes
what's
sound
what's he
going to
do in this shit?
Yeah. He's just going to complain. Like, if you think about it, he's just going to complain. Star Wars The Knights of the Old Republic will make its way onto the Switch this November. Following the news of its remake, Aspyr has announced the original Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic will be released on the Nintendo Switch November 11, 2021. This is an old Star Wars RPG.
Yep.
Have you ever seen it?
I've never seen it, and they're making the show, too. So.
Yep.
So that's going to be dope.
This game is praised by so many people as like one of the greatest RPGs ever made.
I
might check it out.
I'm into this old shit, so bring it to me.
So
I want some prequel stuff.
Well, supposedly it's a turn-based RPG-style game where you create your own Jedi.
That's dope.
You get your own team.
Here we go.
And depending on how you rate, like, you can make good or bad choices to be either a Jedi or a Sith.
Oh, here we go.
I might have to check it out.
I'm into it.
Right?
I'm
like,
into it.
And a lot of people swear that this is like one of
Sith.
The greatest.
Yeah. Give me the red lightsaber.
Castlevania Advance Collection brings four classic games to Switch, and it's out today. After many leaks and rumors, it was officially announced the Castlevania Advance Collection will be released later today. The collection features Castlevania Circle of the Moon, Castlevania Harmony of Dissonance, Castlevania Aria of Sorrow, and Castlevania Dracula X. These games feature rewind, quick save, and button mapping alongside a gallery mode we've never before seen.
Quick save, huh?
What a feature.
I use that so frequently when games add that.
What a feature.
People swear.
That used to be the worst part about games back in the day was not being able
save.
To save whatever the fuck you wanted.
Ever.
Oh, sorry, Mom. I gotta wait an hour to find a checkpoint so I can shut this game off.
When I play the NES online games, like if you play the old Metroid,
yeah.
You can't save. It gives you the codes.
Oh.
Do you remember the codes?
Yeah.
So instead, I hit the save thing and I just save that way. And it makes all those games actually playable.
Yeah,
That used to be the worst part about being a kid.
Writing down the codes. Do you remember writing down the codes in a notebook so you could get back to your old spot? People swear this Castlevania Aria of Sorrow is like one of the best Castlevanias.
I've never heard of it.
I've heard the other three, though, in this collection.
I've only heard like
are just
original
ass.
Three.
Really?
Like, one,
like
two,
Simon's
three.
Quest?
Yeah, like those. I've never even heard of these ones.
I heard the Dracula X one is really good, but the problem is they gave you a shitty version of it instead of the good version of it. And it's $20. $20 for what I've, from my understanding, one good game and three shitty games.
Which one's a good one? Aria of Sorrow.
Aria of Sorrow, I've heard, is like one of the best. There's another one that's on the PlayStation that people swear is incredible. But it's just like, I'm sure this game will go on sale, like, fairly soon, too.
Yeah.
So I'll just buy it then.
You're not going to beat it, though.
Probably not. I'm going to be so real.
I heard those are hard.
Like, what does that mean? You think that's going to stop me?
I mean, you always run away from a challenge.
You think that's going to stop me? ActRaiser Renaissance is a remastered version of SNES ActRaiser, and it's out today. ActRaiser Renaissance is a remastered version of the classic SNES game that features both side-scrolling action and city-building. It was originally released in 1999 in Japan, and this new version arrives today with the much-loved original score and rearranged soundtrack featuring new music, new stages, and boss battles also await. This looks like a game that, like, 10 people care about. But they're going to care so much about it.
This doesn't even sound good.
Well, a game released in 1990, right? So
leave it there.
31 years ago.
Leave it in 1990,
It
please.
Would have been something that, like, I
just
I
with
didn't
the name
know
of
it,
it I'm just not interested.
It looks, like, coolish. You know what I mean? Like, if you saw it, you'd probably look at it and be like, looks interesting, and then walk away and never think about it again.
Side-scrolling action and city building.
I don't get the city
building. Side-scrolling Minecraft.
So it actually looks like it's a Castlevania game.
Oh, okay. Which is much better.
Right. People love it, or you hate it, I don't know. Project Triangle Strategy is now called Triangle Strategy and will be released in March 2022. Square Enix's tactical RPG, Project Triangle Strategy, is now called Triangle Strategy and will be released in March 2022. The team has been fine-tuning the game ahead of its launch, and the update includes adjustments to difficulty, improvements to on-screen visuals like the UI, camera controls, the ability to review prior dialogue and streamline game flow and loading times. This looks like a game you and your brother would love. So it has Final Fantasy Tactics gameplay.
Yep.
It has the Octopath Traveler graphics.
Okay.
And it,
which is like Tactics.
Yes, still. But like they call it like that 2D HD.
Yeah.
It looks like a pop-up book.
Yeah.
It looks really
That's what
good.
I liked about Octopath when I saw Abyss playing it.
Right. But that? Now take that and put it with
it
Final Fantasy
It almost still
Tactics.
Looks like the cutscenes, though, of Tactics.
It is very
Tactics
much that.
Has, like, those same type of cutscenes.
Yes. And this one, in between battles, you make decisions, and depending on the decisions you make is how you... So me and you could have completely different stories.
Yeah.
Because stab someone in the back that I didn't do.
Of course I would.
For the greater good.
Why wouldn't I?
Yes.
Do whatever it takes to get stronger, right? Sacrifices need to be made.
Thank
you. If I have to stab one of my own dudes in the back to get his powers, I'll do it.
For the...
For the greater good to beat
the
story. The
Razagun or whatever the hell is called.
Of course.
Sengun. Yes, thank you. I watch anime.
I never run out of bullets.
Next, we got a Metroid Dread extended trailer ahead of its October 8th release date. Metroid Dread gets another story trailer that reveals a bit more of what fans can expect when they and Samus embark on the newest adventure next month. I've seen so much of this game, they need to stop. Like, I'm super excited for it, but, like, at the same time, I think we have,
October 8th.
Very soon. Same day the Switch OLED comes out.
So that's, like, probably, like, 2 Fridays from now.
Yes, probably it is. Like,
this Friday and then 2 weeks after that.
I may or may not have work that day. I don't know.
I don't think you're gonna.
I already took it off.
I feel like I heard the flu is gonna.
The flu's bad on October 8th.
People on that day pretty bad.
October 8th is gonna be a horrible flu day.
I'm probably gonna take the day off too.
There is a big online bet going on right now whether this game will sell 3 million copies in its first year. So just 1 year, do you think this game will sell 3 million copies?
I'll see why not if it's good.
So. Here are the best-selling Metroid games. And remember, this is their lifetime sales. Yeah. They're saying in 1 year it's going to hit this number. The best-selling Metroid game of all time is Metroid Prime with 2.84 million. The best-selling, the second best game is Metroid, which is the original.
Which came out when?
1980. It's the 35th anniversary,
so it's been 35 years and they're not even at 3.
Right, exactly.
And they think this thing's going to hit 3 in 1 year.
Well, they're calling it the Switch effect, because every game that releases on the Switch
does better.
Yes, yeah. Because I mean, more people sense, have the console. Yeah. The problem is, like, with this Metroid number, technically they include... So when it released on the NES, people bought it, right? Yeah. Then they released it on Virtual Console for, like, $3, and people bought it, and those go towards the sales.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cheating.
I don't know. That's a tough marker to hit.
But it's also like Samus is a super popular character.
Definitely, but just because the character's popular doesn't mean the game's popular.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, she's popular in Smash Bros. Doesn't mean...
Yeah, it doesn't mean that Metroid's popular.
And it's a 2D Metroid game. It's not a 3D. 3D, I think, in my opinion, sells better than 2D games.
Absolutely.
Especially
now.
Exactly.
Back 10 years ago, maybe not.
Like, I'm super excited for this. I beat the original Metroid. I beat Metroid Fusion this year, getting ready for this.
I mean, I don't know if you beat them, but you played them, yeah.
I don't like this, all right? I hate this joke.
You never show proof. I just...
I send photos and no one replies.
Who can believe you? Only people that maybe can tell is your girlfriend.
You just tell me to go fuck myself.
I didn't say it. You did.
Put your nuts on the table right now. Yes or no? 3 million copies sell.
No.
No?
2 years.
2 years? I think it's going to hit 4.5 million in the first
year. If we go into lockdown, then yes.
That's a good point. Well, here's the other thing. Don't forget, this is launching the same day a new console technically is launching.
Yeah, so that might entice people
to buy the game that releases the same day.
Yeah.
But also, how many of these Switch OLEDs are going to be available?
How many are going to be available, and how many people are even impressed with it to buy it?
Sold out. You know, it's like, it's one of those things no one cares. They're just going to buy it anyways.
Just because it's sold out doesn't mean... That could just mean a limited amount of,
it's true.
Of copies.
Yep, it's very
so
true.
That's tough.
Yoko Taro's card RPG, Voice of Cards, heads to Switch this October. The Nintendo Direct revealed that Yoko Taro's upcoming card-based RPG, Voice of Cards, The Isle of Dragon's Roar, will be released on Nintendo Switch October 28th. In this game, everything is represented as cards on a tabletop, including shops, characters, towns, and more. Taro also brought along Nier series veterans like Yosoko Sato, Kamishi Fushisaka, and Kalishi Okabe. I'm telling you right now, there are going to be so little people who play this game, but those people who play this game are going to love the absolute shit out of it.
That seems like the game we said two games ago.
No. I said 10 people, and I literally mean like 10 people.
Now this one you said, how many people? 2 people?
No. Like, it's going to have like a decent, because it's like the Yoko Taro is like a very known games developer and creator.
Card-based RPG, though.
That's what I mean, where like me and you are going to look at that and be like, we're good.
It's like chain of memories.
It's even worse because everything is cards. Yeah. Like, even the character is a card.
Ugh.
Yeah.
I mean, Chain of Memories was whatever because the fighting was all cards, but still. At least it had somewhat of a story to it and you were just a character.
But even so, Chain of Memories was more of, you could understand it better because you still ran your character around, right?
Well, that's what I mean, yeah. You still had your individual guy.
This looks like you're playing Yu-Gi-Oh! The RPG almost, with like dice rolling and all that kind of stuff.
I mean, Yu-Gi-Oh! Did have an RPG on the PS1. If you don't remember.
Is that the one where you would move it on the board too?
Chain of Memories. No, Forbidden Memories.
Chain of Memories, right?
Forbidden Memories. That was a dope ass game.
Back to the Shadow Realm?
That's when you had to build your deck with the Wing Karibo and those crappy little guys that in the beginning of the...
And then you build your way up?
Feral Imp. was part of your freaking squad. It was all those little 3-star, 4-star monsters that were just ass.
Do you remember the two monsters you need to make the flame swordsman?
Yeah.
What are they?
To make flame... Oh, damn. Yeah, those old cards are just mad funny.
To make flame... And you know what used to piss me off is the anime used to...
I used to love my boy Beaver Warrior. You remember my boy Beaver Warrior?
I remember Beaver Warrior.
Just a little beaver with a sword and a shield. He was a savage.
What was the two cards needed to make Flame Swordsman? Please tell me. Wasn't it like Dino Hunter or something?
No.
All right, here it is. Ready? It is Flame Manipulator.
Yep.
And Mask Guy, the Legendary Swordsman.
Mask Guy, the Legendary Swordsman.
And then the anime used to piss me off. Because
they used to have the Celtic Guardian.
They used to make up bullshit rules that only applied to the show.
Yeah, of course.
Do you remember Joey was dueling some dude who had a dinosaur deck?
Yep.
And they
That's Rex Raptor.
They made a bullshit thing saying the Flame Swordsman was actually a dinosaur hunter, so any dinosaur that attacked him would automatically die.
Yeah.
Which
of course.
Makes
anything
no
to help
sense.
Joey Wheeler out.
Yeah, and he was ass.
He's a third-rate duelist with a fifth-rate deck.
With the, what was his, Red Eyes Black Dragon?
Yeah, that's his boy. It's his signature right there. To the death.
Low-key cooler than Blue Eyes White Dragon, but he just sucked.
Definitely low-key cooler. Yeah, he was just not as good.
Blue like 2,400 attack power?
Yeah, so I think it was 24. Blue Eyes just blew him out the water.
Yeah, all the time. Dying Light 2 Stay Human Cloud Version and Dying Light Platinum Edition coming to the Nintendo Switch. I would say play these games on anything but the Nintendo Switch. They're going to chug like shit. It's going to be horrible. It's going to be thick milk. That's how bad it's going to chug.
Thick milk.
Mario Golf Super Rush gets new characters and courses.
Koopa Troopa.
Yeah, Mario Golf will be getting new characters, Koopa Troopa and Ninji, and new courses later today. So you get the new playable character Koopa Troopa, new playable character Ninji. You get new courses Blustery Basin and new course Spiky Palms. I hate the fact that they have so many iconic and cool characters, and you get a character like Koopa Troopa.
Who the fuck is Ninji?
Ninji is the little ninja-looking thing that you know it because you just probably don't know that's what it's called. It's like a little, it almost looks like a mouse in a ninja outfit, and they just kind of like jump up and down.
Oh god, I don't even know what that is.
Like, but that's what I'm saying, like there's so many, just put a real Nintendo character in at
Koopa
that point.
Troopa.
Put Link. Yeah, like so many.
Yeah, I know, you could do so much more.
So many things that make people actually give a shit.
Grab some Smash Bros. People.
That's what, they own them, you know, like, it can't be that, like I would even take like Diddy Kong or Trixie Kong or like anyone that's more fucking Koopa Trooper. That's what you think is gonna bring. I'd rather have Dry Bones.
Dry Bones is savage. I love playing with him in Mario Party 6.
See, like it. This game released June 25th. The last content we got was August 5th. They added at least Toadette. At least Toadette is like a more. But
it's really not.
This game has been so disappointing.
New Dock City.
When I saw this, I thought this game was gonna be so hype. There's no online tournament mode
wasn't
still.
It wasn't as good as I heard.
It's
I didn't even get it.
Enough. Like, that's the worst part. It's just like...
That's not what you want to hear when we first saw that.
And it's like almost there. That's the most disappointing thing.
Yeah.
Like, if it just sucked ass, that would make me feel better. But the fact that it's just like almost there sucks even more. Deltarune Chapter 2 makes its way to Switch later today. Deltarune 2 Chapter 2 released on PC Mac last week and now arrives on the Nintendo Switch. It's a free-to-play. It's from Toby Fox, the same guy who made Undertale. They're just like super famous indie games. Either you love them or you just never played them. Yeah, like that's how
I've never even heard of it.
Chocobo GP brings a Final Fantasy racing game exclusively to the Switch in 2022. Chocobo GP is a new racing game that will let players race as such Final Fantasy characters as Chocobo and Gilgamesh. When it launches in 2022 on Switch, it will arrive with local and online multiplayer and a tournament system that will allow up to 64 players to compete for the ultimate victory. There will also be power-ups called Maggie Cities that will surely cause chaos in the races. Some of the characters that appeared in the trailer are Bahamut, Chocobo, Dungeon Hero X, Gilgamesh, which is from Final Fantasy V. Do you know him?
I didn't play that one.
Mecha Chocobo. Shiroma. She's basically a white mage.
Okay.
With like pink hair, I believe.
Never heard of the Chocobo series.
These two, you know, Steiner
yeah,
and
of course.
Phoebe.
Know them too.
But
the goats.
They gotta have more, I would think, recognizable characters from like the actual. Like, I'm surprised Cloud's not in there.
I mean, yeah, you actually have to chocobo race with him in fucking sevens, though.
Put, like, Cloud and Tifa, maybe. Like, two reps, maybe, from
each.
Yeah. Titus.
Yeah, I mean, Tidus, they got Steiner and Vivi, so. Throw Titus and Orin in or something.
Yeah.
Waka. Waka would be cool.
What's the Yu or whatever?
Lulu, Riku.
Lulu, thank you. Who's the girl that Titus is in love with? I can't even.
Yuna.
Like, Titus and Yuna. Yeah. Cloud and Tifa, or Cloud and Aerith, Cloud and Sever, like anyone.
Red 13.
Yeah. Red 13 would probably fit even better.
No, but Cloud, you do have to ride the Chocobo with Cloud, so yeah, Cloud would make sense. You do that to get a lot of shit. You can get prizes from that, the Chocobo race.
But do you remember you have to, like, race with the black Chocobo to get the golden Chocobo to then...
to get the purple Chocobo to then get Knight to the Round Table so that you could go fight Ruby.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's just a lot of shit.
Disco Elysium, the final cut, arrives on Switch October 12th. There's another one of those indie games that, like, everyone gave a 10 out of 10 that we looked at and kind of laughed at. new trailer shown off for Hyrule Warriors, Age of Calamity's new expansion pass content. Again, this game released last year and was just okay. Oh, my God. That was disgusting.
Felt that one.
The DLC released way too late to the point no one's going to care.
Yeah, you're just waiting for... Breath of the Wild 2.
Honestly, you look at it and say, this is a Breath of the Wild 2. Not only that, they claimed that this was like a story included in the story of, and then at the end they rip off the band-aid and let you know it's actually not canon. So, yeah. Takes away the actual fun. Disney Magical World 2 Enchanted Edition brings the magic of Disney to Switch. It's going to be a game that sells great during the holidays for little kids.
Charlotte.
Honestly, yeah.
Minnie Mouse.
Shadow Trilogy brings the three classic RPGs to Switch 2022. Don't know anything about it. Rune Factory 5 will be released on Nintendo Switch March 2022. Follows a hero who is able to farm, battle, tame monsters, go fish, and build relationships with other characters and much more. Early 2022 sounds stacked for everything.
Yeah. Every console.
I'm waiting for something to get pushed, not because it's not ready, it a better chance to sell.
We don't need any pushes, any delays.
So that was the Nintendo Direct, 40 minutes. It had decent stuff.
It seems like a lot of shit.
A lot of stuff, but it's like a lot of fodder. Like, did you even care about much?
No, like half of it.
The problem is we know, like, most of the games coming out.
Yeah.
For, like, up
we
to
don't, We don't need them to give us another Direct to tell us.
Things that aren't going to come out for way too long.
7-8 months.
I mean, here's Nintendo's 2022 lineup currently, and these are just games from Nintendo. Pokemon Legends Arceus, which is, I believe, January.
Yes, it is.
Kirby and the Forgotten Lands.
Dope.
Splatoon 3.
We'll see if I get into it.
Mario Rabbids Sparks of Hope. The first one did really well.
I heard it was kind of boring.
And then Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild 2.
Dope.
Bayonetta 3.
Dope.
And that now there are rumors that next year we will also be seeing Xenoblade Chronicles 3.
Which you like.
It's a pretty big selling series. Mithra and Pyro were huge for
Never
Smash.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, just an indie game made by an indie developer.
Just a no-name game.
And then Donkey Kong game, and this is made by the Mario Odyssey team.
So like the Kirby game?
I don't know, because the rumors say it's a 2D platformer.
Oh.
Which most Donkey Kong games are.
Yeah, if they made it like the Odyssey game, like Mario Odyssey, it'd be dope, though. If they made it in that style, just like, I mean, they're doing it with Kirby. Like, why not just keep adding other characters?
It's
you could do it with every single one of them. And all those games have those type of side scrolls already. Like, why wouldn't you try the open world?
Right, there's Donkey Kong 64, which is already...
Yeah, we already have plenty. There's one for the Super Nintendo I used to have that was the same thing.
So, again, if we were to get Pokemon Legends of Arceus... Kirby and the Forgotten Lands, Splatoon 3, Mario Rabbids, Legends of the Breath of the Wild 2, Bayonetta 3, Xenoblade Chronicles 3, and then a Donkey Kong game, all in 1 year.
It's gonna be wild.
That's almost like a repeat if you think about it. 2017.
I was gonna say
all you
need is Arceus, the Kirby game, and Breath of the Wild. That would be the biggest hype.
Yeah.
And then you got Bayonetta 3, Splatoon 3 as backups,
mm-hmm.
Xenoblade for the people that like that, The Donkey Kong game is just even another hyped up thing.
I don't think people realize how well Splatoon sells.
Oh yeah,
like
whatever one I played was fun for
that's
a little
the second
bit.
One.
I just wish I had a voice chat.
That's like the
real,
problem.
If I had a
yes.
real voice chat, I would have played that a lot more because I could have talked so much shit to you when I was beating your ass. But no, I had to FaceTime you just to tell you that I beat your ass.
That's the I 100% agree. With, like that
I
game could be
biggest,
so much better.
Its biggest problem.
Yes. There's no party chat,
yeah,
and that's what you
so
need.
Whack.
You need that.
Even when you were on the other team, I couldn't talk to you. Like
no.
I just could not talk to you at all.
And even if you look at the community that plays it, they basically play it while on Discord. Because, again, like you said, the
I
online...
I just hate using Discord.
And like you said too, so the party mechanics of the game suck, where if me and you join a game together,
yeah,
doesn't guarantee we're on the same team.
Yeah, I know. I used to play. I mean, I don't mind that, but like, yeah, I don't. It defeats the purpose of joining up as a party.
Yes.
All that does is just guarantee that we get into the same game.
Right.
So, but yeah, no, I mean, I don't mind that though, because it was fun sometimes being on your team and then sometimes destroying you. So that you could see how much better your team was when I was on it, and then when you were off it, obviously you guys were not winning.
I don't remember you ever doing anything.
Stop it. I used to get like 10 kills a game.
I remember you would run into the wall and be like, yo, how do I turn?
I used to get like 10 kills a game. I would destroy. I would get all the paint splatter everywhere. My team always was winning. It was just,
you know, you too were, easy. You were at least top four on your team, if you think about it.
I was usually the number one best on my team.
I think you were like number four, which isn't bad.
And then when you were on the team, I mean, you were just always last place. Even when you were off the team.
I don't remember that at all. I'm going to skip the next news story because we went really long on that one.
Yeah, we did.
So Apple turns post-lawsuit tables on Epic. We'll block Fortnite on iOS. This is by Steve Hisaki on ArsTechno.com. Weeks after Epic's apparent win against Apple in the Epic's game, the Apple case, Apple issued a letter denying Epic's request to have its developer license agreement reinstated until all legal options are exhausted. This effectively bans Fortnite and any other software from the game maker from returning to Apple's App Store for 4 years. Epic was handed an initial victory when the U.S. District Court for Northern California issued an injunction on September 10th ordering Apple to open up in-game payment options for all developers. At the time, the injunction was something of a moral victory for Epic, allowing the developer to keep its in-game payment systems in its free-to-play Fortnite intact while avoiding paying Apple a 30% fee that had previously covered all in-app transactions. But now Epic has faced a significant reversal of fortune. In a letter sent on September 21st to Epic's legal counsel, Apple's lawyers said that the company refused to reinstate Epic's account until the courts issue a final, non-appealable verdict. Epic CEO Tim Sweeney revealed Apple's decision in a series of tweets posted on September 22nd. Sweeney claims that the appeals process for the case could take as long as 5 years. Apple's revocation of Epic's developer license required that to develop and distribute games on the App Store was valid, lawful, and enforceable, Judge Yvonne Gonzalez-Rogers said in her ruling. This leaves the decision whether to allow Epic back into the App Store up to Apple. Apple's legal team also cited Epic's alleged duplicitous conduct. Apple is referring to the move that sparked the case, Epic adding code into iOS version of Fortnite that enables users to buy items directly from the company. So basically, Epic went behind Apple's back, put in a way that you could pay Epic immediately so Apple wouldn't get their 30% cut. That went against the agreement that every developer has to use, and Apple removed them. Epic turned around and tried to sue them. Technically, Epic lost the lawsuit, but courts have agreed that it's kind of weird that everything you buy when you're on an iPhone gets 30% of a cut. So you're allowed to advertise avenues where you can buy their product that wouldn't give Apple a cut. So that's why people say it's a moral victory, but technically Epic lost. I don't really care because it's big company versus big company, and neither of it helps us, honestly.
Doesn't affect us either.
No.
I'm gonna play it on whatever we want.
But now Tim Sweeney, the guy who works at Epic, is bitching that, hey, they won't let us back on. And it's kind of like, what the fuck did you expect when you pulled this bullshit and then sued them and then lost? I mean, this is what he tweeted. Apple lied, Sweeney said. Apple spent a year telling the world, the court, and the press they'd welcome Epic's return to the App Store if they agree to play by the same rules as everyone else. Epic agreed, and now Apple has reneged in another abuse of its monopoly power over a billion users. Epic didn't agree. Epic lost a lawsuit and was like, fuck, there's nothing else we can do, you know?
How many people really buy it from the Apple Store?
A lot.
Like, why?
I hate Fortnite Mobile.
Yeah, why? Like, why is it so popular?
But Fortnite Mobile, PUBG Mobile, and even...
I know PUBG Mobile, like, goes kind of hard, but, why Fortnite?
I have no idea.
Why Fortnite?
I couldn't tell you, but it's huge. I think it's, again, like Japan and China, where they don't usually do console games. They do everything's mobile.
They only get to play 1 hour a day anyway, so obviously... I don't know. I don't see why that's such a big lawsuit. Like, who gives a shit about the fucking Apple Store?
Well, because, I mean...
I'm sure Epic's doing just fine selling that shit on console when they're charging $82 a skin in you're getting 10.
Right.
So I don't see the point of this fucking lawsuit.
Even that, their problem where it's like...
It's both two big companies just trying to be
exactly,
dicks.
Yeah.
Just trying to get as most money that they can. Like,
that's exactly the problem where I don't feel bad for either.
Add another update, you'll be fine. What the fuck? Get out of here. Yeah. Add some new skins, you'll be good.
One skin will probably make up for that 30%
Yeah, the 30% on mobile.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
And not only that, so the court, when this whole court thing was going through, even when you buy it on console, guess what? Those consoles get a fucking cut.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
So it was weird that they picked a fight with Apple. I would have to look at it on Android, see like what Android's cut is. Maybe that's a smaller issue. I just don't... It's not something I feel bad about.
I bet the cut, though, like to put it on a console is probably different. It's probably less percentage.
Yeah.
And the number of, you know, what you're selling is probably a lot higher.
Yeah.
So even if their percentage is the same, it's different because you're making so much more money.
It's $2 billion companies where they can both get fucked.
Just being,
you know,
assholes.
Yeah.
Trying to get as much money as they can. Those greedy shits.
I'm not going to get too much into the story, but this is Ubisoft issues DMC takedown notice for a speculative NVIDIA GeForce Now database list. If you remember last week, we were talking about that hack that happened to NVIDIA and they had all those games like Kingdom Hearts 4 and whatnot.
Yeah.
Well, Ubisoft is issuing a takedown. They don't want any site reporting or showing that list.
Of course.
Which, when we were saying, I wonder if it's real or fake, this kind of pushes it into the direction, hey, this might be fucking real
if
one of these companies...
is pissed.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely real.
But
and we already called it.
Doesn't it make it, like, so... Like, if I was Ubisoft, right, and it's, like, maybe three of my titles that I haven't announced are up... If you don't say anything...
If anything, this is a publicity...
That's what I'm saying.
...booster for you. Because now people are talking about it.
Right. But not only
that... But if you don't deliver, then... If it just ends up being a rumor and you shut it down, now you look like an a-hole.
But you don't until you do this now.
Yeah.
Because at first you could say, well, those are just speculative titles that we had nothing to do with. Now...
Wink, wink.
Yeah,
now... Just throw a little something in there.
Now you're the fucking asshole who, like...
Oh, take it down.
Because they're real.
Yeah. Oh, you guys spoiled all the fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think it boosts the publicity.
The fact that you're bringing it up and making them take it down.
Well, you just saying that makes it look even worse.
Exactly.
Now it makes it look like it's legit.
Exactly.
So if you didn't want people to know, I mean,
you should have
just never
said
anything. Oh, haha, what a funny rumor of games with a winky face. Like,
right.
Just throw anything out there to make it not obvious.
And your games that were using code names weren't even the games that like people were looking at. They were looking at like Kingdom Hearts 4
yeah.
and Final Fantasy 9 Remaster.
We're not looking at Ubisoft games. Like, don't take it so personal.
The GTA
remakes. Don't take it so personal.
Oh, Jesus. And then this is the last bit of news. Twitch streamers' lives are about to get much better thanks to chat change. This is by RA Notice on Kotaku.com. Twitch streamers may soon be able to restrict who can or cannot hop into that chat. According to Twitch observer Zach Busey, the streaming giant is planning on adding expanded features that would allow streamers to require phone or email verification from the commentary. For most of the summer, Twitch streamers have grappled with a scourge of hate raids thanks to platform's raid feature, which allows streamers to redirect viewers to another channel. Bad faith streamers can send droves of commenters to other channels to coordinate harassment campaigns. Most of these users show up with the worst possible intentions and often flood channels with waves of sickening slurs and insults. The Washington Post reported that these campaigns are organized off Twitch on Discord servers. Streamers told Kotaku that they're requiring users to register with a phone number would be one of the most effective methods for putting a stop to hate raids. Far more effective than email verification, which would already exist on the platform, it's easy to create alternative email addresses. So while requiring email verification for chatters is a speed bump, it doesn't stop the hate raids in their tracks. So this is a smart idea, because how many times do you sign up for an account and it's like putting your phone number, you put in your number, they send you a text with a code, you put the code in, that way it verifies you're a real person and not just like an automated system.
Yeah.
Not only that, if you were to say, you know, verify your account, go in and be a dickhead, now they can just block your phone number.
Yeah, block you completely, yeah.
Right.
Now you won't be able to re-register with a new email because you won't have a new number to register
exactly.
with. Yeah.
Where if it's an email, me and you can make a million
fucking
emails.
Oh, yeah, I
can just
make 1,000 and just do the same thing every time.
And it's tougher, too, because it's like, you know, block an IP address, but so many people can fake an IP address now.
Yeah. I don't even think it gets that deep where it gets to the IPs.
Yeah.
I feel like most places, they never make you verify an IP.
I
don't even know what my IP is. Like,
but they've blocked IP addresses for online.
Oh, yeah.
For like,
absolutely.
Monitors and hackers.
I remember when we used to be on freaking Xbox, and someone would be like, "Hey, I'm hacking your IP address. Oh, I'm gonna know where you live. Like, fuck out of here. Who takes the time to hack people's IP addresses?"
Some people, I'm sure.
A lot of people,
yeah.
Actually, but still, like, who does that? I know where you live because of your computer.
Hey, Shadow.
That means everyone just knows where we live because of our computer. To that point, right, yeah. Anyone could just find it out.
Well, and then I don't even honestly know how IP addresses work so well. I live in an apartment, right? Do we all have the same fucking IP address?
No, I think everyone has a separate. I think it just goes right
to your
computer,
modem,
right to your whatever your internet is. Yep. You have your own IP, and then that's that.
I would like to see this again, and it would make it.
Yeah, it's definitely good for those people that you were talking about, how people will come into your chat like late night when you're asleep and just type random shit.
Oh, and then
you get
banned
in the morning,
because
that's just whack.
But also it holds you accountable if you're an asshole, right?
Yeah,
like,
no, it does. I've been in so many stream chats, just like not even chatting. Like I just sometimes I just leave the chat up to see what people say.
Yeah.
And you can just sometimes people you'll see it though. You'll see like a bitch comment and then someone it just gets filtered out immediately.
Yeah.
Because some people have those things. They're like most depending on who the streamer is, they can change the name of it.
Yep.
It's like an automated thing that comes up no matter what, and it's like Nightbot or Streambot, and it just gets rid of the comment.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's cool they have that.
Well, again, some streamers,
when you're offline,
children friendly,
it might not work.
Right.
So your little Streambot might not be Streambotting
right.
when you're not on.
And it's not like words like bitch that they're worried about. It's,
well, even
you
those,
know, it's
though,
racial
like,
slurs.
You get bumped out immediately if you're even just saying something like that, like you're a bitch.
Yeah.
Like, even if you just say that to the streamer.
Which you should.
You should, absolutely.
Again, some streamers are children friendly, right? Like that's the point of their channel. They don't swear. They might get upset or something, but they'll say like "dang flabbit" or you know like something children friendly. And then you have a 27-year-old asshole in there, "fuck you, bitch," and it's like, what is wrong with you?
It happens so more so much more often than you'd expect.
It's like stupid shit that you would never say to someone's actual
face. Like girl streamers, you just like show me your titties. Like you just see it all the time.
Yep. Titty streamer, like, titty streamer.
And they're just gone. Yep. Boop.
What's your OnlyFans?
Nightbot just boots them right out. So,
and again, ban their number.
If you want to go be an asshole, you go to the pool, hot tubs, and tubs section or whatever, and you go do it over there. You don't do it in the normal game section.
Well, we could stream because Twitch said it's not illegal to be sexy.
It's definitely not illegal to be sexy.
There you go.
If it was, we'd already be in jail.
You're right.
Ooh. Ayo.
All right. That does it for this week's episode. You can find me on Twitter at @AHN_gags.
Yeah, I'll be back on Apex. Servers are really bad still.
Really?
But, dude, it's just sickening.
Check
like,
out
my
the,
game froze twice yesterday.
Download the next Microsoft flight for Halo.
I will.
For this weekend.
My game froze twice, like right when I was about to get into a game. And then I had to restart it, and then I had to do that stupid shader shit again.
Yep.
The 7,000 shaders that I had to download. And it's just so, I was like, come on. Like,
my Switch never needs
I'm
that.
I'm at the loading screen to get into a game. Like, I just pick my character, and it just goes black. And then I can't even X out the game. I have to open up the task manager, fucking stop
task. Yep.
Retard. I couldn't just X it out. It just wouldn't go away.
There's
like,
yeah,
this game is just acting up.
There's actually, like, so many, like big Apex streamers I see that are talking about like, hey, it's not even worth hopping on right
now.
Like they need
like,
to fix these
servers.
I'll
see it in their caption. Servers are decent right now, trying to get some runs in, and then it'll be like, servers are trash right now, still trying to get some runs in. And it's like, even Ninja's been playing heavy, which is crazy.
Yeah,
he's been playing heavy. He's already a master.
I've seen like for some reason, Ninja always shows up on my Twitter feed.
He's already
as like
master
live
rank.
Stream. All right, but I'd crush him. No,
I mean, I haven't seen you.
I click in my stick to slide.
I haven't seen you on Apex in a long time.